Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes. And you guys are welcome into the show. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line, the text line as well, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We also are now live streaming on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel as well. So come hang out. Come chat with us.
Hell yeah.
Ask us questions. Whatever you got. Talk trash about me. What's up, Twitch? Little friends.
They want to know what frat you were a part of.
ATO.
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 You know, they tried to recruit me at Syracuse University. I'm not kidding about that, and I was intimidated because the person who tried to recruit me had cocaine on his nose.
See, my fraternity experience was just so different than everyone else's because the first school I went to was called Elmhurst College. It's where my parents went to school. It's a D3 school. It's 3,000 students, and it's 60% commuters. So we were the biggest fraternity on campus.
Hell yeah, dude.
And it was 40 of us. Where, like, most fraternities are, like, 200 kids. So, like, it was basically, and because it was D3, we could have athletes. So, literally, it was just, like, the golf team.
So, you guys were the jocks.
I guess, yeah, except for me. I mean, I played club.
You were like, benching 300 pounds.
No,
that was in high school. I mean, I played
college
rugby.
College isn't that long after high school,
that's
generally.
True. I mean, I played rugby, but, like, it was...
You take some gap years?
No, it's just, I played rugby, but, like, it still was...
You're so
just,
humble about it.
It wasn't serious, though.
Well... Yeah, but what level of rugby in America is serious?
No, that's true.
You're ready to call golfers athletes. Like, oh yeah, fair. We had athletes. We had a ton of dudes from the golf team. I wasn't an athlete though.
Cuz it was like team, it was like school sponsored but like identified as club cuz there wasn't enough cuz like, we played like Notre Dame. Okay. And like Ohio State.
Did you storm the field when you beat?
We did not beat Notre Dame. We beat Purdue once.
Hell yeah.
But we did not beat Notre Dame. We got dog walked by Notre Dame.
Well, I would think that would happen.
They seem like a rugby school.
I have no
evidence to back it up. They feel like a rugby
school. Yeah. Because it feels like it's like the football players who couldn't be eligible for the football team anymore.
It's also like old money. It's like they can just run out the Newt Rockne playbook.
Yeah. I mean, rugby's a great game.
Jock Joe George over here.
I really want to do it now that Paul and I are doing the show together. I want to do things with
300.
Now I'm scared.
I am too.
Should be
the alpha in the room.
Can we go do like a tryout with the Sabercats again? Because I know you did it once.
I did it once. I was hungover after a little.
Give me some time
around the world in Chinatown.
Give me some time to get in shape and let's go play. Let's go.
We gotta get you in shape first.
I know.
We gotta get Jock Joe George back.
Yeah.
So now then we can judge other athletes and their bodies and stuff. Like I do.
A long time.
Probably shouldn't be able to.
I mean, we can judge people. Who cares? What are they going to do, cancel us?
They're not going to let us race camels.
That's true. That's damn sure. Maybe that should be my goal. Should that be my goal is to get 168 pounds so that way I can do the camel race? That's my dream. I don't care. It's not about my kid and being there for him or looking sexier from the wife. It's about being able to race camels in 2025.
Someone on the YouTube has a great comment. Fendel Zero says, Jacked Joe George 2024.
I like it.
That's a great campaign slogan.
I do feel like with the name of our show, we should get like presidential style t-shirts.
Okay.
Gallant George 2024.
Sure.
Plus Sean.
Yeah.
We'll make sure we keep you in there.
I don't want to be the president.
I don't either.
Can't handle that responsibility.
Worst job in the country.
That would be such a hoback.
You could add your ages together. You'd be too young to be president.
I don't think that's true.
That's true. We aren't 80 years old yet, so yeah.
Yeah, what's
34 plus 34? We're 68?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not old.
But I'm also not. Well, I'm 32.
Oh, you're 32. Okay.
You're 34?
So I'm 34, yeah.
For some reason, I think it's because Branham threw me off. Like he's much older than I thought he was. He's closer to a 4 than he is a 3.
Yeah, I was shocked by that.
That surprised me.
I think it was his birthday in Vegas when we went there. Yeah,
that's true. Hope we go back. All right, we were talking about Nico Collins earlier.
Yeah,
and you know, like, would you give him an extension right now?
Would we let him in our frat?
He said he's open to it. Would we let him in our frat fraternity GGM? I think it's that what that's
GGM that works.
GMG.
Sure, there's some just dirty an acronym that we can turn that into.
GAG.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to include you in there, Sean, with the M.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to include everybody in this. I'm an inclusive person.
MSG.
MSG.
GAGS.
But we were talking about the Texans, and you know, Patrick Mahomes before the show and CJ Stroud. Do you have to pay Nico Collins? Like, the Chiefs took the method of, we're not going to pay Tyreek Hill. We're going to trade him away because Patrick Mahomes is good enough to win a Super Bowl with Rashee Rice and a bunch of guys who can't catch. But he's Patrick Mahomes. Do you think CJ Stroud can get to that level?
I already feel like he's on the way to becoming Brady adjacent in that he is a guy that does not make mistakes in big moments. And just take a look at the two playoff performances thus far. Take a look at the majority of this season. Of course, he had that awful interception that he threw against the Bengals. But Stroud, for a rookie, I thought was unbelievably careful. And that makes me believe that he is going to just continue to be a smart player. I also feel like, given how smart of a player he is going to elevate the abilities and skills of, more than anyone, the receivers around him on a level that we have seen with a lot of quarterbacks. You mentioned Mahomes, Brady, Peyton Manning. Certain quarterbacks elevate the level of receivers around them. And yeah, if you can get a guy like Justin Jefferson or a Tyreek Hill, I mean, you've got a difference maker, but it's an expensive difference maker. And I mean, if we talk about the Tom Brady era, which Nick Caserio was a large part of, we talk about how they made it work with, yes, Gronk, yes, Randy Moss, yes, some really good slot wide receivers. But those slot wide receivers were guys that they found on other teams, undervalued players, and Brady, his work with them, turned them into incredible players. Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, guys who were not really highly sought of outside of Miami. And for Julian Edelman, I mean, out of Kent State, like, he was a quarterback there. So I look at that model and I wonder if Nick Caserio thinks to himself, hey, I didn't need to pay for wide receivers with Brady. Maybe that pissed him off a few times, but do I need to get as many wide receivers as possible when my quarterback is not a Kirk Cousins, is not a Geno Smith, who has three theoretically very good receivers around him in Seattle with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Jackson Smith and Jigba? Do I need to have a ton of weapons around the guy who probably is going to make everybody around him better? I think you should bet on you being able to make more happen with less.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. Like, that's why I think when you're talking about NFL free agency for the Texans, the wide receiver spot, it's Curtis Samuel, it's Darnell Mooney. It is guys that have had decent production at times, but like haven't really lived up to expectations or haven't blossomed in their own way. But you expect CJ Stroud to get there, because as much as I think, you know, Nico Collins is, as we discussed earlier, there's still part of it that's like, I don't know if he's not who he was with Davis Mills, but I'm not totally confident who he was this last year elsewhere. Like, I think a lot of it is CJ. So to me, taking a wide receiver in the second round, or I'm still a proponent, like, would be open to the idea of taking a wide receiver in the first round this year if you really think that that guy is that talented once you see how free agency shakes out. But I would tend to more lean that you don't need to trade for Justin Jefferson or, you know, pay Nico Collins, as much as I would like to do both of those things. Like, if they didn't do either of them, I think C.J. Stroud with a good offensive line can pretty much make it work with anyone.
The only concern I'd have with Collins is that if you do allow him to have another great season, he will break the bank.
Oh, yeah.
The offseason afterwards. And it might make more sense to do it sooner rather than later, and you push some money down the road as well. I do think that the receivers you have right now, you shouldn't be so confident in your ability to make it work with anybody that you let them walk. Like, I mean, we saw the limitations in this offense when Tank Dell was not there. Maybe not against the Browns, but we saw.
I mean, the rest of the year, they barely scored 20 points,
right, exactly,
when he wasn't out there.
So I think you look at what you have right now. You got a very good situation.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need to add to said situation by trading a lot and paying a lot for someone like Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and like, you never want to go like the full path of what the Kansas City Chiefs did, because frankly, like, they got, that was brutal for them the entire season. They I think they led the NFL in drops. They were just not a good offense on a consistent basis, but they had Patrick Mahomes. You don't ever want to get that bad. You always want to have at least one guy that you can really rely on a consistent basis out there for you. So that's where I agree. Like, I think they're in a good spot right now. I really do. One of the things I thought was interesting, I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah's podcast, and he said he thinks that there might be a record broken this year within the top 50 picks with wide receivers taken. He said that he thinks there could be 11 or 12 wide receivers taken. And the thing about the wide receiver position is that it's the most talented position, I think, by far in college football. Like,
well, there's so many. I mean, teams are putting three on the field at a time, four.
I mean, look what CJ Stroud played with. I mean, he's going to play with like six or seven first-round picks at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much talent that's the other reason why, to the anti-argument of paying or trading for Jefferson or a guy like that, is there's so much talent in college coming out on a consistent basis. Feels like you can always find guys.
You have to, though, realize that it does feel that way, but there are times where you are going to swing and miss.
Mm-hmm.
And right now you do have two receivers for CJ Stroud who are very good, and you found him in the third round. Great. But you can't, I think sometimes teams trick themselves into believing that they can always do that. And I will point to the time where the New England Patriots let Curtis Martin, future Hall of Fame running back, walk, believing that they could find somebody else in the draft afterwards. They did find a pretty good player who got injured in a flag football game on the beach his rookie season.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Edwards.
Yep. I think one thing, like the Patriots model that Nick Caserio could try to implement here, it's like the Astros model at the same time. They always had their answer before they made the move most of the time. Like, before you would move on from a wide receiver, I think Nick Caserio would draft another one. And then he's like, okay, well, now I've got two again. I don't have to pay Nico Collins at this point. I honestly, the more I've thought about over just the last 2 hours, I think they might find a deal this offseason.
You think so?
Yeah. I think if they're motivated to make it, that he would sign it. If I'm Nico Collins, why would I want to go anywhere else? Like,
when you play with a quarterback like this, you're going to feel spoiled, especially when you have been through the Davis Mills era.
And like the early feedback from, like, I'm typically not a people just always want to flock to the new thing, but Aaron Wilson, you know, put out a video today where he said the Texans are at the top of Saquon Barkley's list. So, like, the good players want a player. So if you're a good player, why would you want to leave here?
As I said yesterday, you know, you are now a wanted person.
Yeah.
You have all of a sudden had a glow up.
More now than probably ever in the history of this franchise.
Yes. 100%.
Because, like, the Watson stuff, they had bad cap space. So, like, they weren't really able to attract free agencies in a big way.
Bill O'Brien was Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, Teapot Bill.
I think, really, 2013 was probably the moment in time where the Texans looked the most attractive, and they actually were able to get Ed Reed in town.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, Ed Reed was not Ed Reed anymore.
He was not.
Pretty crazy how quickly that went.
I can't believe they didn't roll out Ed Reed for the Texans-Ravens playoff game.
Well, I think
they rolled out Jacoby Jones, but they didn't roll out Ed Reed for him.
They were saving him for the AFC. They rolled everybody out for that game, and then they just... What a dud.
That game was so... They brought out Terrell Suggs in the middle of the game to pump up the crowd. Yeah. It was sad. All right. We're doing this every day this week. We're getting to know each other, the three of us. It's time for Fun Facts with Paul, Joe, and Sean. That's next year on Glotton, George, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George with special guest star Paul Gallant and recurring character Joe George, also featuring Sean Mapes.
Joe George, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes, here with you till 3 o'clock. The Killer Bees will be here after that till 6, as usual. Joel, Jeremy, Brian. So fun facts. Well, I guess we'll start with this one. Sean, you weren't here yesterday, so I made up a fun fact for you. I don't know if you're okay. You might have been sleeping.
I told myself I was, and I didn't tell you guys because I didn't want to write a check that I would have to cash. But I was like, maybe I should listen to the podcast for the segments that happened after I left.
yeah.
And I didn't do that.
That's okay. I don't blame you.
Still a mystery.
You had a long day. So I said that after our conversation we had last week in the bullpen area, where you so quickly told me the name of Hookem when I tried to call him Bevo.
Oh,
I said, Sean's fun fact is that he was Hookem in college.
Oh, no.
No?
I told Joe. I was like, no? There's Sean would have so little enthusiasm as a mascot.
Or I would – it would only be for the – A, I'd be bad because only the big games I would show up.
Yeah, against, you're not going to be there every day.
No, against Louisiana Monroe, I don't think I'm – I don't think I'm doing all the bits that I need to do to wear the crown that is Hook'em.
You don't think that – do you think they would give us the Hook'em costume now so you could wear it for like their next big game?
Probably not. No.
Probably not.
No.
So do you want to start today, Sean? Do you have what yours
sure.
ready?
I can. Yeah. I
okay.
Can start.
Tell us a fun fact,
do I,
Sean.
Wait, do I have mine ready? Like, do I just know a fact about myself?
more a fun fact that you don't think that we would know about.
Yeah. Now, Paul might know a lot, so this might be more for me, but.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't know if Paul knows this, that I'm colorblind.
I do know this.
Oh, okay.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Red, greens are tough for your boy.
So they're
different
like,
races. Can't see them either. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, Sean.
Is that how that works?
Don't say which races you think red and green are. just don't.
The
no,
green
no,
are the aliens no. that are living among us. The lizard people.
Washington football team, Paul. yeah. So, you know, like in school when they have those, I don't know if y'all did this, but they would do like different tests and stuff with us. And one of them was the little color splotches uh-huh. and you're supposed to like easily see a number. I was like, I honestly thought they were pranking me because I was like, there's not a number.
So when did you find out you were colorblind then? Like when you were in like elementary school?
No, or maybe my like parents knew that because it is like genetics. Like it's okay. very easy to know if you are going to be colorblind or not.
Okay,
but
trying to join the Top Gun pilot school and they didn't let
yeah,
him in.
Yeah. yeah,
that's the reason they
that's
didn't
tough.
Let him in. No, I probably like fifth grade, sixth grade.
Okay,
so like 10, probably.
Interesting. I don't really know a lot of color. Do you ever think about getting those colorblind glasses?
I see those videos go viral.
They feel like a scam, right?
I feel like those people are much more colorblind than I am.
Yeah, like they only see black and white?
Yes. Or
gray?
So my grandpa, who's colorblind, he says it's a lot of browns.
Okay.
Browns and maroons.
So when they did like the color rush jerseys?
Paul, any thoughts?
Nope.
I'm like,
he said there's too many browns.
I didn't have a thought on that. I just quietly bit my tongue.
So you were one of the people, Sean, that was very upset when they did the color rush jerseys between
yes.
the Bills and the Jets.
Yeah. It was actually hard for me to watch like, that game.
Like you
yeah.
literally couldn't tell who was on
yeah,
the field. Because
they would run past each other, and then you just lose who's who. Yeah.
Good to know.
The Twitch wants to know if you can see pink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I can't see
pink. But it's red. Ish.
So it's a lot of like the difference between like purples and blues that unless they're like right next to each other, like blue and purple kind of look the same to
okay.
me.
Okay.
Like
that's fair.
A lot of, or darker blues and purples. Like once you start going into that spectrum. And so maybe some reds and pinks will look alike. Reds and orange give me a lot of trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Texans uniforms, like they could
I don't
be
care.
Purple and you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Don't care.
You don't care. Okay.
You don't know what the
deep steel purple. Deep steel.
Paul, would you like to go next?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I've told Sean this before. I did ballet when I was little.
Ooh.
You did not tell me that.
I did ballet.
That's a good one.
For how long?
I did it in kindergarten. I stopped doing it for a year, and then I did it again in second grade.
Okay.
My sister was the ballet star of the small town in Massachusetts, Hanover, that I grew up in. And my mom decided to sign me up. My dad, rightfully so, told my mom, you realize they are going to call him something for this.
Mm.
So it's rather consistent with just my time here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Like, me doing ballet shouldn't be that surprising to everybody here. I do feel like it has given me cat-like balance, but at the same time, yeah, I did ballet in kindergarten and second grade.
Question, I'm not making fun of you. What did you wear when you
so,
did that?
That's a great question.
You'd wear a white shirt and you would wear black pants. They weren't like yoga pants. They were just like black
dance
sweatpants.
Pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they weren't super baggy sweatpants, but yeah. So you'd wear that.
Okay.
But yeah, we didn't do tights and leotards.
Or
no.
you
stuff.
And your sister shared a they just bought two of the same ones.
Now, a hand-me-down or something yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah. No, they did not.
Okay.
They did one. Not.
I'll keep it in the same genre, I guess, Paul.
You also did ballet?
I did not, oh. but I definitely was like in musicals. And
you were in musicals?
The lead in my musical.
Wait,
my
can you sing?
Year. Not really anymore.
That sounds like a cop out.
But probably
he could also pinch 300 pounds. He brought that up like it was the most humble person alive.
But I was I did musical theater in high school. So because my dad is actually still now he's the musical director and play director at Texas City High School now.
Wow.
So
what musical did you star in?
Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay, I don't know that one.
It's like loosely based on Elvis.
Okay.
So like kind of like his story, like going off to war, coming back. But, okay. Like we did. So I was in Grease. We did Grease. We did Little Shop. That's the one where the plant eats people.
Yeah. Yes. Feed me, Seymour.
I was in the plant.
You were Seymour?
I was like in like
no
the plant,
Seymour's
like,
the plant's not named Seymour.
Oh, okay.
Good catch.
The plant is telling.
I'll be honest with you. Feed me, Seymour. That surprises me that you knew the answer to that question.
Are we musical gang like, here? Did this show musicals? Get gayer than it was for 10 to noon? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No. So I did musical theater growing up, and then
cool.
We called it speech team. I guess down here it's more like debate team.
Yeah.
I guess, but I did more like the acting stuff.
That's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, so I did that in high school.
I'm envious. It's something I actually wish I had done, but my own
that's how I got
fear
radio.
Of being called as I was in kindergarten. Yeah. Not in kindergarten, but in second grade. Second grade, I got roasted for ballet.
Dude, it was brutal in high school.
So, yeah, but it's something in retrospect, like I wish I'd done, because I love musicals.
Honestly, it was kind of like how I got into sports radio or wanted to do radio. Was I like I'm comfortable talking in front of people and I don't have stage fright and I like sports and like radio felt like how they crossed and intersected. So yeah, I did that in high school.
That's pretty awesome.
It was fun.
It sounds like it
was. Yeah. No, I'm not like Lance and still doing it. I don't know if Lance still does it now. The only thing I would do now, I would love to do drunk. Have you ever seen Drunk Shakespeare?
I want to. I actually saw
fun.
An advertisement on Instagram for it, and I was like, what is this?
Do you know what this is, Sean?
I mean, I can put it together.
So,
well,
but it's only one person is, like, heavily intoxicated. So, like, everyone else, and it's a different person most nights, but, like, one person in the cast is just, like, obliterated drunk. And, like, they just, like, butcher the whole thing. It can be – sometimes it's a dud, but, like, if you get the right person that's funny with it, a funny drunk – I've never seen an angry drunk do it, though. Like, I would imagine – like, that
drunk
would be
King
fun.
Lear.
Yeah. Like, someone just, like, loses their mind on stage and starts breaking stuff. That would be very funny.
Shakespearean language, it's great that we have come a long way from that because I have no idea what's happening in any of those. I feel like a total dunce.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a lot of drunk guys stumbling over their words.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that's just like, that's why Drunk Shakespeare makes sense, is because it probably makes more sense when you're
drunk. Thou art a naughty knave and stuff like that.
All right. Free agency. We talked about it earlier a little bit, but the free agency, what's the big picture stuff with the Houston Texans? Who do you want to keep? Who are you meh about keeping? Who do you not want? We'll do that when we get back. But first, Paul has a trivia question for you guys.
Yes. Now, there's been a lot of movies featuring both Kevin James and Adam Sandler, but there is a movie where the two get married. Yes, it features Adam Sandler and Kevin James, the usual cast of character. It's called I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Adam Sandler is interested in a woman in this movie. Can you name the actress who plays this woman? Caller 3-713-780-3776. She was also on Seventh Heaven. 713-780-3776. Caller 3. You win a pair of tickets to see Kevin James in action on stand-up Sunday, March 3rd. Tickets now at LiveNation.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
All right, free agency is about to be underway for the Texans. And we've been focusing in so far through two shows. And just kind of talking about, you know, running backs, a lot of the guys that are out there that play wide receiver. But then it's kind of feel like that's been the focus of our conversation. But we haven't spent a ton of time talking about so far, the guys who were on the roster, who do you want to keep, not keep, meh on? I guess, like, first, I do want to start with wide receiver. You know, in this conversation, we haven't really mentioned Noah Brown at all. He obviously had the two games that were both over 150 yards, but not on the field a ton. I don't really think he's going to be more than a $2-3 million player again. I like Noah Brown. He, to me, falls in the meh category.
Well, because of what you said, I would think about keeping him because he had two games where he exploded.
Yeah.
And if you are capable of games like that from time to time, that means that you are a good fit in this system. He's fast. He's a willing blocker. I think there's a lot of things about Noah Brown to like. I actually really liked that signing when they made it from Dallas because I noticed him while watching the Cowboys a couple of games. I thought to myself, he's solid. That's for sure. So I think because of what it would probably cost to keep him, I definitely think that he is a keep him kind of player.
He definitely is a Robert Woods out. You cut him, save $4 or $5 million, whatever it is. Keep Noah Brown at a lesser deal and then add someone else in free agency.
That's at least what you're hoping to do.
Yeah.
Now, Noah Brown might be able to parlay those games that he had into a bigger contract elsewhere, but he also might think to himself, damn, I'm capable of this with C.J. Stroud and with these other guys around. If that is your number three wide receiver, that is a very good number three wide receiver to have, and that's one of the reasons why I really look at where the Texans are at in free agency and before the draft, and I think to myself, I think receiver, they are set. You have to hope that you're not going to go through injuries again. I guess you still have to hope that there is another level of play that you can get out of John Mechie, who just had his first full NFL season, but I would like to keep Noah Brown.
So who is at the top of your keep list? For me, it's Blake Cashman. I think he is not going to be an expensive player. I really liked what I saw with him, and I think, frankly, if it's him and Christian Harris as your two main linebackers, you are in a really good position. Now, you still need someone that can be much better than Denzel Perryman was at covering tight ends because he sucked at it. But
Perryman's a linebacker from a bygone era.
Yeah.
He's very good in run support, but he just couldn't cover people.
But Cashman is a guy that I think will be affordable that I would really like to see keep because it's another hole that they don't have to fill on defense if they keep him over Perryman.
And the hope is, as bad as the linebackers were in coverage, it was a big problem. You're hoping that at least one of your safeties can give you more than what you got last year. Jalen Petrie was great his rookie season, and he was very, I thought, suspect at best last year. And with the injuries to Jimmy Ward that we've discussed, the amount of games that he missed, your linebackers were in a tough spot as it was. You know, nothing against Houston Carson coming in, DeAndre Houston Carson, but yeah, it just wasn't enough. So your hope, I guess your hope could be that the safeties make the coverage better. Cashman is a guy I would like to keep, and I don't think you'd have to pay that much for him. But again, we're going to find out a lot about some of these guys who came off of career seasons. Cashman, the amount of tackles he had in games, just ask Christian Harris about the 19 tackle game that he had.
Yeah.
I asked Christian Harris about it, and Harris goes, Jesus Christ, didn't even know that he had that many.
He might be my favorite player on the Texans, honestly, right
Harris?
Now, Christian Harris.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was weird that everyone talked about how he was so bad last year, not this past season, the season before that, because I remember watching him. He drill people.
Yeah.
He's got some serious stopping power, if you will, as a hitter that not many other players on the Texans have.
Yeah, and I thought the one play, obviously the interception for a touchdown, but then when they look at it, you know, there was the play versus the Titans a couple weeks before where it was the exact same play and he totally missed it. And then you see the behind the scenes footage or the NFL footage where D'Amico is telling him exactly what's going to happen and where to be and like this is what's going to be and the ball is yours and it's a pick six and then he executes it perfectly.
Right.
I would imagine D'Amico just has to absolutely love that. Like, he's a sponge, it seems like.
He almost had another pick six this season.
Yeah.
You know, where it actually, it went off of his hands. It was in his hands. He could have run with it. And I forget what game it was off the top of my head, but he's someone who I think got a lot better last year, but I really liked what I saw from the get-go.
Yeah. So Blake Cashman would be like, is one of the guys that I'm really high on keeping on. Someone that I'm meh on. I think before his end of the season press conference, I would have said Sheldon Rankins. But then hearing D'Amico Ryans in his end of season press conference talk about how important it was to improve the defensive line, it was one of those moments where I was like, okay, maybe I don't know as much about, you know, like interior pass rushing and stuff. Where I was like, I thought they looked pretty good last year. Like, at times they would get gashed by the running game, but I thought the defensive line was pretty good.
I would imagine he meant more help for Rankins.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you do have Malik Collins there. It's not like you have no talent at that spot, but could you do better? Sure.
Yeah.
How much is better going to cost you, especially now that it seems Justin Madubuike is going to get the franchise tag? Mm-hmm. Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, said that earlier today. So that's another option for the Texans that's potentially off the board. Chris Jones seems to have taken himself off the board at his parade press conference saying, I'm not bleeping leaving. So there are going to be other guys available. Off the top of my head, I don't know who they are. But they will probably add to the defensive line. I'm meh about bringing Sheldon Rankins
back.
Yeah,
that's why he's meh.
I'm not saying let him walk, though.
Yeah, I would be happy if they brought him back, but if they didn't and replaced him with someone else, I'd be like, okay. Like we'll see what happens in this. It just, to me, it doesn't feel like he's going to command a big salary either. That's what I think is, even though a lot of these guys will have like had career years, Blake Cashman as one example, I don't think that any of them are going to be hitting the market, and besides Grenard, and making major dollars mm-hmm. elsewhere. Like they'll probably get raises
yeah.
from what they were making, but none of them are out there going to break the bank the deal.
Don't you think that Grenard?
Besides Grenard.
Besides Grenard. Okay. I wouldn't think so. Someone might try to sign Kaimi Fairbairn. Fairbairn's been pretty consistent over the course of his career. Someone might try to sign Cam Johnson, your punter. He's a good punter.
Yeah.
But those are positions where you're going to get in a bidding war over a kicker. Here's the thing.
No, but at the same time, like, we saw what it was like with Matt Amendola, and I would be super bummed if Kaimi was not the kicker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, winning the AFC South would have been a whole lot easier if you had Kaimi Fairbairn for that game. Nothing against Matt Amendola. I mean, he did hit the front crossbar on a long field goal.
But yeah, but like, selfishly, my least favorite thing to talk about on the radio is kicker problems.
Kicker problems.
So like,
but you don't have a kicker
exactly.
problem.
So like, if you bring back Kaimi Fairbairn, we never have to discuss that because you know he's going to be good at all times.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, just avoiding the Cody Parkey and the
come on, man. What are you doing?
We're just talking about a kicker. That's just a kicker. Yeah.
Are there any moments that come to mind, Joe, where Parkey did something wrong? Because off the top of my head, I don't know. Sean,
1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1-2 boom, doink.
Boom.
Yeah. Just a couple doinks here and there. Yeah. Every time a kick does doink in the NFL, I feel like I have PTSD.
Yeah.
It's just
ringing in your
yeah.
ears.
Yeah, yeah. That was the first like sporting event I watched with my wife before we got married. Was like, she was just like in my apartment and we're watching the game and it double doinked.
Well,
and I asked her to leave.
Wow, trauma really brings people together, huh?
Yeah. You're not going to like this.
Okay.
You guys deserve that because you keep on being on Sunday Night Football.
It sucks. I don't want them there.
I know you don't, but like they deserve to lose that game because our eyes have been falling out of our heads watching these god-awful quarterbacks that the Bears keep on bringing in. And you people are still like, oh, it can't be mean to Justin Fields. We're the Midwest. Like, no, it's bye.
Who is the one player you don't want the Texans to bring
the
back?
Subject, huh? You know, there's no one I'm like so out on. There really isn't. That's a free agent.
I think Perriman might be my guy.
Probably him because you have depth, you think? Like Henry Toto, you're expecting more from this coming season. I would at least think. Maybe.
Stevie Nelson?
Hassan Ridgeway. Nelson, I would like to bring back.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to have to pay a ton for Steven Nelson. I think with the way that he played last year, you could do far worse at number two corner.
100% you can do worse.
Right? Like, you could do better, sure. But look, the guy made some big plays this season.
Honestly, I'm pretty pro bringing back Steven Nelson.
That pick six iced the game.
Yeah, I would rather
Flacco.
I think like bringing him back and then upgrading the Desmond King spot of the roster is more of a priority.
King's a tricky one because I think King is so good in run support.
100%.
And he made a couple of big plays in run support to the point where he can do what he can do. How do you properly figure out what Jalen Petrie can do? Because, I mean, King is very good in that role. Petrie in deep coverage, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I
not knowing their assignments every play, like, it's just more when you watch them, you're like, why is the safety getting beat deep. I don't know if that's him. I don't know who it's on. I'm just like, well, seems like the closest guy was Petrie.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of, like, even Desmond King playing safety for you at some point down
can
the road.
Can he is the question.
Yeah, can he? I don't know. But we've seen so many guys do it.
That's true. Moving from, I mean, Kareem Jackson's
yeah, safety now. Exactly.
I'm cool letting Kareem Jackson walk.
Yeah, he's a nobody.
Oh, come. Whoa.
I wouldn't say he's a nobody.
Point, at this point. You're right.
That's a Texans legend.
He's a killer at this point. Yeah. He's a headhunter.
He's keeping the realness in football.
I do like that.
Yeah, I mean, week one versus the Chiefs. Who's going to take out Patrick Mahomes?
Send a message.
I do think he's expensive. Probably expensive even with the literal suspension. Yeah, even with the NFL prison time he's served by getting suspended a couple of times.
Sean, do you have anyone on your list for any of these?
The only one that really comes to mind is Jerry Hughes just because he's 35 years old.
Yep, and you barely saw him done.
Yeah, so that it is true, though, that a lot of these guys that are – the most I am is on the fence about, you know, kind of – let's see the price on a lot of these guys. I mean, I guess Robert Woods doesn't count because he would have to get cut. So he's not eligible for this. But I feel like Robert Woods is the most popular, like, you know, casualty on the Texans roster.
Yeah, I think Robert Woods is probably the player that we all are expecting to get cut.
Yeah.
He won't get cut. He's not really that good of a blocker even. Like, I don't know. Robert Woods, that felt like the bad Texans signings.
He gave you more... Sorry, just saw something online. He gave you more than I think you thought he would. And I think at this point, with everything that was said about him in Tennessee, I was under the impression that we were getting like a guy who couldn't even move anymore because Tennessee was dogging him on the way out. Mm-hmm. Like all the beat writers out there, like Kaharski and other ones.
Yeah. People were expecting not the version of L.A. or whatever Ram version of Robert Woods that existed, but they were also, we got more than, I think you're right, like than what was expected from him. I just would be shocked if he's on the team next year, but obviously we've got so much time left to go in free agency. I'm ready for this thing to start rolling and seeing, you know, how aggressive Nick Caserio is going to be. But look, there's a lot of questions to be answered so far. All right, we will do our final show, our segment of the show next here on ESPN 97.5.
I got fired?
Nope, not today. We'll do garbage time. We'll wrap the show next.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, before we get into garbage time here, this is garbage also. You know, they're going to raise the Netflix prices again.
Yeah, they already have. Wait, they're doing it again?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, I logged into my Netflix account the other day, and I found out that Netflix has now made it so that you have to pay extra for no commercials. The next day I went on Amazon Prime, found out the same thing. I can only imagine we're going to get that with just about every single app. We can't get away from commercials.
Well, it's so funny because it's why they existed for so long.
Right. At least that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But now all of them. I mean, Hulu has a commercial option and a non-commercial option.
Yeah, but they started that. Like, they did that from the beginning, at least.
True. And their commercial breaks are shorter.
Yeah.
So that's neato. But, and perhaps ironic, us saying this on a radio station.
Oh, yeah, but that's not like, but, no. Like, you expect to have commercials on a radio station.
You ain't paying anything for the radio, right?
It's free 99. Well, I guess whatever your car costs.
Exactly. That's, well, you know what?
Way more expensive than Netflix.
Well, you can listen on the app. YouTube is free. Twitch is free.
Think about your car insurance. It's just going straight towards radio. That's what I like to think.
Yeah, let's pretend that's how it works.
Yeah. But
this is because they got WWE, though, I'm sure. So, like, this is the beginning of the end. Like, it's going to keep going up because they got WWE Raw. So, like, it's going to keep going up.
I don't get it. People watch that? Do you watch that? Are you a wrestling person?
I in and out. I'm not like.
So you're, I mean, halfway in.
Yeah, like I'll watch like the big stuff, but I don't watch every week. I used to.
I don't get it. I get it when I was a kid. That's the one. I'm like, once you realize it's fake, what's the point?
I know it's fake. What's the difference between that and like, do you watch The Challenge?
No.
I see. I do.
That's fake. That was a reality TV show.
Exactly. It's fake. It's scripted.
It's reality.
It's not real. Come on. It's not real. It's as real as pro wrestling. That's me. Is why it's like it's no different than that.
Why do you watch reality TV?
Because it's garbage fun.
Oh, okay. So you actually like it.
Yeah, I like it. I watch Vanderpump with my wife. Watch it tonight when it comes out.
Oh,
do you watch Vanderpump?
No.
I do.
Should I?
No. Don't do it.
I've done Jersey Shore. That was my first foray into reality TV. And for a time, I very much enjoyed watching The Bachelor. But I am done because now it's two episodes a week. That's too much. Oh, 2 hours each. Come on.
Did you ever apply?
I have, but I need to apply again. I need to send in a serious application.
Careful, you might be on the Golden Bachelor soon if you don't know.
Shut your whore. Oh whore.
What a shot.
I get it. I have silver in my hair.
It's time for
balding.
Garbage time.
F you.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Well, to Joe's point, as my mother said not too long ago, Paul, you're running out of options, but this could be an option for me. What do you think about this, Joe? So Matteo Berrettini has split up. He's a tennis player with his, quote, sex addict model girlfriend, end quote. That's the headline. Melissa Sata, who once had an affair with Kobe Bryant, was with him, and now she's back on the market. She's somebody who married a soccer player, Kevin Prince Boateng. And she had this to say about why Boateng was always injured. Quote, the reason he is always injured is because we have sex 7 to 10 times a week. I hate foreplay. I want to go straight for it. I prefer to be on top so that I can be in control. So Boateng often injured, but 7 to 10 times a week. I mean, all the married people out there, that sounds pretty good. Should I pursue sex addict model girlfriend, Melissa Sata?
I'm a little concerned about how she said that he got hurt because of this. I need a healthy Paul Gallant on the show.
But I mean, I could do this show.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You could be in a wheelchair and do this show.
Yeah,
to be
absolutely.
Honest.
I think there's a lumbar support thing in one of those chairs.
So. Oh yeah, I threw it on the ground.
Yeah,
it's
if
in
your
my
back
way.
Gets hurt, we got some lumbar support.
I'm in. I'm going to slide in her DMs.
Do it.
You know who else I'm going to slide in the DMs of? Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus is about to do a movie where she plays Cynthia Plaster Caster. This is a person who rose to fame for creating plaster casts of Ramalama Ding Dongs. And the reason that she is perfect for the role, per somebody who cast her, is that she has a room in her own house that is entirely dedicated to penis.
But I...
It's like just the penis is everywhere.
What's the purpose of this movie? Like, I understand this person has a story.
It's an interesting story. Yeah.
But it feels like this poor person is not important enough to get a movie.
I don't know. She appreciates... Yeah. This person appreciates penises, and Miley Cyrus appreciates
groundbreaking
penises.
Groundbreaking doctors don't deserve movies now?
Yeah.
I guess. I guess they do.
I don't know if this is a doctor as much as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, an artist that's creating... Yeah. So apparently she, like... has a hall of dongs and like Jimi Hendrix among others. There's
famous
cats. Yeah, we're famous dongs. We're not talking about like off the
just
beaten
like,
path.
Yeah.
Dongs.
Like that's Paul's not just hanging out in that room.
Well, I mean, you could who doesn't impress a big old you know what? What? Like say good for you.
Good for you.
That ain't me. I got the Irish curse.
When you say Miley Cyrus has a room dedicated, room in her house dedicated to penis,
toys.
What exactly does that entail?
Toys everywhere.
Okay.
Photos.
Listen, she's a very independent, strong, sexually charged woman. And if she is single, how about this 34-year-old, pretty good shape, radio host?
Mm.
Who has done TV before.
That's true.
Or as seen on TV.
With John Granato back in the day.
And old John Lopez as well. Did a little, flag football legend too. So athletic.
Shorecrest Prep, all district safety.
Came from some money, but not a lot of money.
My favorite part about like how long you guys have worked together, he like knows exactly
what
high school.
Points.
Yeah. like he could fill out, like, if you got back on the dating apps, Sean could fill it out for
you. I'm never getting back on them. I'm never
like Sean.
If you do, let me fill out the bio.
No. Can we have Sean fill it out for you and see if Sean has more success?
I don't trust Sean. Sean would make fun of me.
I feel like Sean can catfish.
I also feel like that would only hurt his feelings.
Yeah,
if
it would.
If I have way more success,
Sean, Sean as Paul
using his pictures.
Sean catfishes woman as Paul. New segment on the show.
Double Rod's comments. Paul's hitting that age where he will be a stepdad. I'd be a good stepdad.
Less responsibility.
Yeah, less responsibility.
Yeah.
And on that note, you guys brought me down. These two women that I was going to pursue, you know, you both were like, I don't know.
I said yes to the first one.
Say yes to the first one. Yeah. Okay. I will slide and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Miley scares me a little bit. She might be one of the
scariest. She does not scare me. At all.
Scary lady. All right, that's going to do it for us. And find Paul on Twitter, at Gallant Says. Sean on Twitter, at Sean A. Mabes. I'm on Twitter, at Joe George Radio. We will be back tomorrow at noon. The Killer Bees with Joel, Jeremy, and Brian are up next. Goodbye.
Toodles!
ESPN 97.5.